What I'm about to read are some words taken from the 10th chapter of Paul's letter to the first letter to the Corinthians, with one of the words deliberately omitted. And the challenge I present this morning is to have you try to figure out what is the word that completes this passage written by Paul when he wrote, "We must not, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer." Naturally, some context would be helpful here. The "some of them" to whom Paul is referring in this verse were the children of Israel as they were making their way through the wilderness onto the promised land, a people which, according to Scripture at that time, were quite stiff-necked and were easily distracted from the will of the Lord. The record of the journey of the children of Israel is filled with all sorts of transgressions and sins committed, and Paul lists a number of them in this 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. If you filled in the blank with idolatry, that is something which the children of Israel were guilty of committing. Paul makes reference to it earlier in the chapter. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to dance. You can recall, no doubt, the event of the golden calf. If you filled in the blank with the word immorality, that too is something of which the children of Israel were guilty. Paul references the immorality of the Israelites, saying 23,000 fell in a single day. Perhaps you thought of testing the Lord's patience, which is another transgression on the Israelites' list, after which Paul said some of them were destroyed by serpents. The sins of immorality, idolatry, and putting the Lord to the test were all a part of Israel's history and all brought upon the people some swift and decisive judgment. But Paul adds to that list an additional activity which fills in the blank of that passage that I read earlier. What does the apostle warn us not to do? Quote, "as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer"? Grumble. Complain. Paul said we must not grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Idolatry, immorality, insubordination, and complaining? Who's ever been called a criminal for complaining? Who has ever experienced some severe chastisement as a result of grumbling? Well, in the Old Testament, quite a few people. They were very vocal with their complaints. When, for example, the spies returned from their trip to Canaan, came back and falsely reported that there's no way the children of Israel are going to drive out those inhabitants of the promised land, the Israelites grumbled. "Why does the Lord bring us into this land to fall by the sword? Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt?" And the specific event of grumbling to which Paul refers in this verse was equally grievous. It occurred after God wiped out a lot of the people that participated in Korah's rebellion. God wiped out those people, and yet the people grumbled and complained to Aaron and Moses, saying, "You've killed the people of the Lord." But God was angry with their complaining, and 14,700 of them were destroyed. Just as the children of Israel were guilty of complaining against the people whom God had appointed to serve them as his representatives, Moses and Aaron, so also Paul was sensing and had heard that some of the people in the Corinthian congregation were questioning his position as the one to serve as God's representative. And so Paul here is using that Old Testament episode to warn the Corinthians not to grumble and complain over the fact that God had appointed him, Paul, to serve them in that way. The warning against grumbling, however, isn't limited to a person's grumbling against God's representatives. It's serious in all sorts of situations. Complaining, which comes as naturally to our old Adam as breathing, might not seem like such a bad thing, but when we analyze what we're really doing when we complain, the sinful part of it becomes pretty easy to see. God, after all, is in complete control of all things, and nothing happens unless he allows it to. What are we really doing then when we complain against him? For one thing, we're really saying that God isn't doing a very good job at being God. If things don't go the way we think they should, and then we grumble about them, we're actually criticizing Him. We're expressing displeasure toward the God who directs all affairs, whether personal or global. And that doesn't sit well. It shouldn't sit well. "Where were you," God asked a disheartened Job, "when I laid the foundation of the world?" Another aspect of grumbling, which is equally unacceptable to God, is that it typically is an expression of sinful pride. When we grumble and complain, don't we do so typically from a misguided notion that we deserve something better? Our flesh thinks we're entitled to more than we really are, and as a result, it gets irritated when things don't go above and beyond the simple food and clothing which the Lord has promised to provide. What's more, grumbling and complaining are completely counterproductive, serving only to cloud up a day which the Lord would like to have filled with the sunshine of His grace. For this reason, Paul says in Philippians simply, "Do all things without grumbling or questioning." Jesus, thankfully, has cleared every single one of our evidences of guilt, including our sins of grumbling. And Jesus has given us the perfect model for a complaint-free life. Even when He was rejected, despised, assaulted, mistreated, completely misunderstood, He never complained. He fully understood that all things were being directed by His wise, powerful, loving Father, the awareness of which can liberate us from a negative view of things and enable us to replace complaining with something far more beneficial and useful, contentment. By God's grace, Paul reached a point that I think we'd all like to reach. He said, "I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content." When disappointment comes our way, as it did to Paul frequently, we can be assured that the God of all power would have brought about a completely different situation if it truly would have been what is best for us. And when we realize that, complaining can be replaced with contentment. When we feel overwhelmed, we can call to mind how the Lord is fully aware of our abilities and limitations, and was so when He allowed certain things to come our way, therefore helping us to replace complaining with contentment. When we're frustrated, we can recall the promise that all things work together for those who love God, again, enabling us to replace complaining with contentment. Perhaps you've heard of Blue Monday. According to Wikipedia, quote, "Blue Monday is a name given to a day in January, typically the third Monday of the month, claimed to be the most depressing day of the year." Well, the holidays are over, the bills are due, we're in the middle of a snowstorm. Pretty easy to feel inclined to complain and grumble. But the Spirit of the Lord is able to awaken us to see things differently. He can help us see that God is truly in control of all things, that He never makes a mistake, and that He causes all things to serve the eternal good of His people. In Christ, He has removed all ground for grumbling and given us a new way to view a new day, namely as a time in which He does wisely use to provide what is best for His truly dear children. We sing of a faith that does not grumble or complain in the form of hymn 396, the first three stanzas, 396, 1 through 3.